manuscripts, jewels, armour, and a thousand other things that defied description. How we came to live amongst such treasures is a story that merits its own volume. To investigate one murder is a curiosity. To investigate two is a habit. Stoker and I had fallen into the practice of murder when our mutual friend, the Baron von Stauffenbach, had been slain the previous summer. We had uncovered some difficult truths and made a cautious alliance with Sir Hugo Montgomery, the head of Special Branch, Scotland Yard's most prestigious division. When, at the end of that investigation, fate had proven to be an unkind hussy and left us without home or employment, the current Lord Rosmoren had graciously invited Stoker and me to work for him, living on the grounds of Bishop's Folly and cataloguing his collection with an eye to one day opening the Belvedere as a public museum. It was arduous work, consisting of unpacking, inspecting, reviewing provenance, cleaning and registering each item. The beetles alone could take years. But it was enchanting. Every day offered its own surprises, and as word spread of our undertaking, donations to the collection began to arrive. It seemed that Lord Rosmoren's project was the perfect opportunity for his friends to rid themselves of items they no longer wanted. They would never send anything truly valuable. The English aristocracy are nothing if not sharply attentive to financial advantage. So we received instead a steady stream of decrepit hunting trophies and wretched oil paintings. They were of no use to us, so Stoker regularly burnt the moth-eaten trophies in the garden, whilst I arranged the portraits into a grim sort of family, giving each a pet name and taking particular delight in each baleful new addition. But the shipment that arrived that morning had been the most peculiar yet. The large packing crate had been stuffed with excelsior to cradle an array of phalluses, each more impressive than the last. Clay, leather, marble, wood. The materials were nearly as varied as the objects themselves, and the assortment of sizes was frankly extraordinary. From a modest little fellow about the width of my handspan to the enormity I brought to Stoker's attention, they represented a thorough study of that particular piece of anatomy. At the bottom of the crate nestled a leather box with a piece of card affixed to the lid. Personal gift to Miss Veronica Speedwell. I have not forgot my obligation. With my compliments and heartfelt gratitude, Miles Ramsford. Suddenly, the mysterious collection made perfect sense. Our second investigation had saved Miles Ramsford from the hangman's noose, and I was not surprised he had chosen to repay the debt with part of his extraordinary array of erotic art. Understandably, Ramsforth had quitted England immediately upon his release from prison, and we had never met in person, but he had sent an effusive letter of thanks, with a splendid silver watch chain for Stoker, and a promise to remember me with something even more noteworthy. My curiosity piqued. I extracted the box carefully, and opened it with a rush of anticipation. I was not disappointed. Wrapped lovingly in cotton wool was yet another phallus, this one a masterpiece of the Venetian glassmaker's art. Of clear blown glass, it was striped with luscious violet colour that gleamed like a boiled sweet as I held it to the light. I remembered it well. I had admired it when Stoker and I first studied the collection, although how Ramsforth happened to know of my appreciation was a mystery. It was a testimony to both his gratitude and his puckish sense of humour that he would present me with the costliest specimen from such a deliciously lurid collection. I brandished it at Stoker. "I was quite right about the hardwood piece," I told him. "This was at the bottom of the crate. It is the doing of Miles Ramsforth. A personal gift," I added, with a waggle of my brows. Stoker blushed furiously.
"For the love of God, put that thing away."
"I cannot imagine why you are so bashful on the subject of the male genitalia of Homo sapiens, when you are the only one of us who can boast of owning it," I muttered, as I replaced the offending item carefully into its box.